Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Kicking off the week with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can catch up with what's going on over there. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we would greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which, come on, you know this by now, is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, all right. So we can start off here with Dan's players of the week. We start in the AL, where you went with Manny Machado as your hitter of the week. Why did you like Manny?
Because he's Manny being Manny.
Can he actually
hold on,
do that since? Different Manny?
Yeah. I don't have my numbers up in front of me. Oh, here we go. Here we go. I mean, just look at his numbers. In six games. Yeah, nothing's translating on my phone. So it looks like he just played really well. Do you have everything up in front of you?
No, I was typing, but I'm sure I could run it down if I have to here. Give me a minute, because my internet is... We're at the time where my internet is complete dog crap, because we're busy, so, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, he posted a 500 batting average. I believe he hit, like, 5 home runs this week. You know, he only struck out twice, which, you know, in Major League Baseball days. Yeah, exactly, right?
Oh. All right, I'm almost there. I'm working. I'm working at it. I really am. I'm not kidding you. That's just how good old AT&T does. That's how AT&T does me, man. Got him. Yeah, 500, 11 hits and 22 at bats, 7 runs, 2 doubles, 5 home runs, 8 RBIs, 3 walks and 2 strikeouts.
So, I mean, you know, of course, all the other numbers, but, you know, one of my biggest likes is the 2 strikeouts. You know, like we mentioned, guys don't really strike out that least amount. And to be honest, this first month of, we're almost coming up on a month, but it just seemed like to me that Machado wasn't really getting off to that great of a start. And, you know, would Baltimore really be able to gain anything from trading him? Because, I mean, the way he's playing and the expected terms and the money that should be coming with his next contract, I'm starting to wonder if it would even be worth it for Baltimore to go that route. Hey, you're supposed to tease the crowd. Let me go first and then tweet him out.
Well, you know, it takes me a little while to type, so I'm working here, you know.
Now they already know that. Javi Baez was my guy. I mean, he just had pretty much a monster week. And in which, you know, we got to come back to talking about him and, you know, Longchangle and juice balls and things of that nature. But what did you think of his numbers? I mean, he had a pretty low strikeout rate.
Yeah, which is a huge surprise for Baez. He had 4 over his, he played 5 games, so a little lower total than Machado. 25 at bats, 7 runs, 12 hits, 3 doubles, a triple, 3 homers, 9 RBIs, and the 4 strikeouts. So.
Yeah, sorry, I'm off on the train waiting for the conductor to quit flirting with the girl so that he could look at my ticket on my phone.
So, you know, just how, Baez is that kind of guy who he's going to have these weeks, you know, it's just how he is. You know, the funny thing is, you know, next week he could hit 100.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the kind of player he is. So, you know, it just, you know, I don't know how or I don't know why. It just kind of goes that way for him. And, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously it's a, you know, it's a nice little plus that, you know, they were in Colorado. There's always a little bit of assistance there. Yeah. Some of the balls he hit just don't matter. So, you know, I mean, you can throw that out there all you want, but, you know, yeah, when they're hit that way, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, that's a home run no matter what.
Now, you know, the NL pitcher of the week was kind of hard. I really like 3 different guys, but, you know, we can only go with one. And that had to be Johnny Cueto. He just had a pretty monster week last week.
So I can stop writing down all these guys as ties and just give you one of them. I've been, you know, I wrote it down as a 3-way tie.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why you got to wait till we're all done and then tweet it out.
Actually, all I'm doing is typing it into the Blog Talk forum, so it goes out over that. But, yeah, Cueto got a win in one of his 2 starts. Didn't give up an earned run. Went 13 innings, 4 hits. Only walked 2 guys and struck out 18. I know his ERA for the season is now down to 0.35.
Which is, I mean, it's stellar. But, I mean, you know, not giving up an earned run all week in 2 starts, I think that is pretty major, especially for a guy who kind of had a down year last year. I don't remember if he was picked by you or Schomburg, too. I don't think he was picked by Mr. Fantasy because I was going to just put everything in his White Sox. He didn't pick anything. But did you go that route with Cueto this year? Who was your comeback player of the year was?
Oh no, I think it might have been Schomburg Stu who went that way. I always end up going off. I go into going off the rails guy in that, and you know he ends up getting hurt again. It's kind of like I think last year I had Clay Buchholz, and I think he pitched a week and then got hurt out for the season. Just kind of how, you know, how that kind of shakes out for me. I don't know if or when or why I do those goofy things. Oh, actually, I did have Hunter Pence, so I had a giant Cueto.
Yeah, I was close. But, you know, the great runner-ups, I mean, Patrick Corbin went 2-0 last week. He did give up a couple of runs, but, you know, struck out 19 and just pretty much had a pretty solid week with 15 innings. And then Jacob deGrom, unfortunately, with no win, he did strike out 22, which I just thought was pretty awesome to, you know, for 1 week to average 11 strikeouts per game. And then when it goes to the AL, I mean, can you give it to anybody else other than Sean Manea, who threw a complete game shutout? No hitter, nonetheless?
Oh. Yeah, no, you know, I guess it depends who you ask, because, you know, there's a lot of people who are saying that, you know, that wasn't really a no-hitter. You know, there were a couple significant calls there that people think he got away with to get the no-hitter, so.
And where were these calls? Were they strikes? Shouldn't have been strikes? Or?
No, they had, I'm surprised you didn't see it. They had the pop-up into short left that Marcus Semien dropped that they gave him an error on. And then they had a little roller up the first base line. Andrew, Ben, and Teddy got called out of the baseline, which humorously, I'm surprised that one gets so much press as it does. Because when you look at it, he's clearly out of the baseline. It's just not a call they normally make that way. They normally do it the other way. So but again, it's the Red Sox, and this is what happens when you no hit the Red Sox. It's not something that's supposed to happen. So there, of course, is a lot of gruff about it on how, it wasn't really a no hitter, and he didn't deserve it. So that's what we get.
That's all semantics. But at the end of the day, it goes down and classified 100% as a no hitter, and they didn't score. So hats off to him. You can't take it away from him.
Well, you could, but you'd have to go back and review everything and all that other stuff that they're not going to do. So
yeah, but the league, none of the leagues do anything like that. They may come out and issue a statement they were wrong, they didn't get the call right, and they'll do better next time. But but that's the I think with today's game, especially with the instant replay and the fact that they go to New York as opposed to just the umpires on the court on the field, just solidifies the decisions that are made and how you finalize a game. That there is no going back anymore, especially in the MLB. The NBA, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, there's no real reason to complain about this. The big reason that there's any issue at all is because it was the Red Sox.
Yeah, and they're also such a stellar chart.
That's the whole reason behind it. If it wasn't if it wasn't them, like if he would have no hit, say the Marlins, nobody would be saying a thing.
Yeah.
It would just be that simple. It's just the fact that, it was Boston, and there's all the East Coast bias. So yeah, all those guys were just up arms, and I heard some people talking about it today, and I was just like, really? Guy pitched a fantastic game. Does that mean he really shouldn't have struck out 10 guys and that was all a myth? So
that's where I thought was some of the controversy lie, was in strikes and balls, because you really can't argue strikes and balls.
Yeah, oddly, yeah, there was none of that. It was weird because, the play in short left field, I thought it was a play that he should have made. It was a tough play. He was going back on it we've seen a bazillion shortstops do, and it just, it hit off his glove and he dropped it. It's one of those things where if it would have been in Boston, it would have been a base hit. There's no doubt about it. But, you get the home team calls like that. We see it all the time in any and every game that it's controversial. So it's no surprise that this game being in Oakland, that was scored in air. But yet, it's just one of those things where it's like, everybody's up in arms about it now. And it's like, shut up. The guy pitched a great game. It's like, okay, I get it. You're not supposed to no hit the fantastic Boston Red Sox, but this kid did. It doesn't account for the other, 25 outs he got during the game. How are you going to complain about those?
Normally I'm pretty on top of it, but yesterday the day got away from me a lot quicker than I expected, with watching all my recaps. So I didn't even realize the no-hitter till this morning when I was at work. I get there early so I could make my picks. But, I didn't even realize it, going back to, I really wanted to bring this up, going back to last week, you had mentioned, with Lawrence Angle and all that crap, would Willie Mays or, have hit, 1,100 home runs, 1,200 home runs. And, I want to go back to that only for the fact that yesterday when I was watching the Cubs and, Javi Baez launched one into deep, Coors Field is pretty a deep center field. Charlie Blackmon went as far as he could. Had it been any shorter, without that Colorado air, it may have been a little bit more of a play that Charlie Blackman could have attempted to rob, because from what I understand, it adds 9 feet. But, I don't attribute this all to launch angle, but maybe launch angle is such a big deal now because the balls are becoming the equivalent to Super Bowls. And if you don't know what that is, that's when you used to go to the bowling alley and your dad would give you a quarter for the machine, and you got the ball that bounces to the sky or whatever. And then you take it home the next morning and lose it. But
or the dog.
Yeah, one of the two, but, I mean, do you think that has a bigger play into it? I mean, because that swing, when you watch that swing, and, maybe it does have something to do with the direction of the swing, which it doesn't totally look like an undercut. But when I see that, in years past, that would have been just maybe a pop-up. I don't want to say a pop-up, but that would have went directly to an outfielder in his position. I don't believe that would have been a home run. And it's not just Javi Baez. There's a lot of guys who are hitting balls that, I mean, theoretically shouldn't even be going out of the park. And I would love to see an experiment where, there's got to be somebody who has a bunch of baseballs that span, the last 20 years, where we can go out and just, have a guy like Aaron Judge hit them all. one of these new launch angle kids, just rack them up and hit them out there and, see what era of baseball really leaves the yard, like the ones that leave today.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear there's so much that goes into what happens in the game now between, not only is it baseball and with the new approach at the plate, but you also have to remember that compared to, back in the day when, the Hank Aarons and the Willie Mays and those guys were playing, pitching really does suck now. There are very few elite pitchers in baseball anymore. You've got a handful of starters. Maybe you could get to 10, and then there are some quality closers. But, in between that, there's a lot of guys who really should be driving Uber for a living. But, the game is thinned out. There's a lot of teams. There's a lot of roster spots. So, these guys get jobs now that wouldn't have them back in, I don't know, you want to call it the heyday, or just when, when the league was smaller, you can obviously tell. I mean, you can even go back to, just when the Atlanta Braves had that great rotation and they ran, Maddox, Smoltz, Glavine, and I forgot who got it, but Steve Avery. I think Steve Avery was the fourth guy. They just ran these guys at you, over and over, and it was like, holy crap, nowadays, I mean, even when a team has that kind of quality rotation, you've only got to deal with the starter for about 15 or 18 outs, and then the manager panics and gets him out of there because, God forbid, he gets into the seventh inning and trips over the mound and hurts himself because he's never been out there that deep before in a game in years. So, again, you get that guy wandering in from the bullpen that wouldn't be there if not for this situation. I think I saw a couple games over the weekend where the Cubs ran out of position players because they're carrying so many pitchers. And, it's just a huge joke. They're carrying like 13 or 14 pitchers because they're, and they're supposed to have a great pitching coach now. I mean, the hitting sucks so bad they fired the pitching coach. But, this is Madden's guy. Obviously, we get to talk about the Cubs because that's the game I see the most. They're on TV the most here. So I'm just kind of assuming it's like that everywhere else. But, all these things kind of add in. You're not given the opportunity to pitch anymore and get yourself out of trouble. I'm a little surprised they kept Manaea in the game to get the no-hitter because I think went to about 105 or 110 pitches. So, the A's manager, I think it's Bob Melvin, still had to be sitting on his thumbs in the dugout hoping that nothing happened because, the media would have scared him going, oh, God, I can't believe you let him in to throw this many pitches. Mm-hmm. He's a conditioned athlete who trains to do this. You know, I mean, literally, this is just his job. Your job is to write about it, so shut up and write about it or talk about it and let the manager do his job. You know, I mean, but I guess it's kind of those things where every sports writer wants to be a manager or a general manager or something like that, but they just didn't have the ability to get that job. So it's kind of their way of being involved and getting even, or however you want to look at it, is just, you know, they're going to rip everything the guy does, no matter if it's right or wrong.
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, kind of sticking with the Cubs for a moment. You know, I feel like Jason Hayward's doing a little bit better than he has in past, you know, in the past couple of years. And I think a lot of that is attributing to a lot of the negative energy, publicity, whatever you want to call it, being taken off of him, which I don't think he really garnered a lot of negative, you know, from writers and such. But I think it comes more from the fan base. And that's being more directed towards Yu Darvish. And I mean, from what I did watch the condensed game, so I got to see more of his pitching from Saturday. And, you know, he was looking pretty solid going into the fifth. And then the fifth inning, it just looked like he was just tossing batting practice. I mean, we've got – the Cubs have a – what was it, 5 years? So they got four more years of this. I'm not ready to, you know, stand on the ledge. And, you know, I have so many friends that I, you know, I couldn't believe how many of them were just going out there, you suck. And, you know, and it's a great analogy because it works, you know, because his name, you know, you go with it. But, I mean, what was your take on that game? If you,
or yeah, you know, it's – well, you know, the tough part is, I get the emails from Sean McStew, who, by the way, crushed Jason Hayward for missing that ball in the sun yesterday, just so you know. that's kind of how things go. Yeah, you know, I mean, it was very strange because, you know, the only thing I could kind of rectify it to or compare it to, because I don't think rectify is the correct word there, it literally looked like he ran out of gas. And I can't figure out, you know, again, how a professional athlete with, you know, a spring training under his belt and all that other, you know, kind of fun things that go along with it could legitimately run out of gas in that situation because, he wasn't at a high pitch total. You know, there wasn't anything like that going on. It wasn't an issue. And, you know, he looked physically dead, you know, out there. And it was just kind of like, wait, what's going on? It's only the fourth inning. And I not making excuses for the guy. You know, I don't know what's going on. Maybe the mile high air got to him. You know, or something like that. But I mean, you know, you look at Yu's outings, which is always kind of fun to say, and he's got one that lasted six innings, and he didn't get out of the fifth in any of the other ones. You know, he's got four and a third, four and two thirds, and four and two thirds. And it's not like he hasn't been laboring out there. I mean, his pitch count for his four starts is 102, 94, 105, and 94. Those are big-time high pitch counts for the limited numbers of innings he's working. So, yeah, I just wonder, you know, if he got caught up in Colorado and, you know, just ran out of gas. But, man, that's what it sure looked like because through four innings, he was rolling along. And then all of a sudden, he looked like a completely different pitcher.
You know, I couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, you know, and I feel for him or feel for the situation. And I've got to imagine that there's many Cub fans that are sitting out there at home. and from the way Arrieta's performed in Philly, probably wishing that he was signed back here in Chicago. But I feel like at this moment, he's really taking the replacement of Jake Arrieta role seriously. he's kind of
Yeah, well, you know, that's always going to be the tough part all year, because obviously, you know, Darvish has made one more start than Arrieta. You know, that, like, that first outing Arrieta had wasn't anything spectacular. You know, he only lasted four innings, but you kind of expected that with no spring training, more or less. But, you know, he bounced back. You know, his second start, he was pretty good against a bad Tampa Bay team, so let's be fair there. But, you know, he went out against the Pirates, what was that, last week or about 4 days ago, and, man, he was really good. You know, he went seven innings and struck out 10. So, you know, last year, you know, he had trouble getting to the seventh inning with the Cubs. So, you know, that's that thing where, you know, you and I are probably going to be sitting here all year doing this, going, well, you know, Darvish did this, but Arrieta did this, or Arrieta did this, and Darvish was better at this. You know, it's just kind of how this is going to go in this situation because, you know, Darvish was signed to replace Arrieta.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the flip side of the coin is, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Would you expect anything different out of Arrieta had he came back to Chicago? I feel like even had he come back, I mean, well, let's even look at it. Going from the playoffs with the Dodgers, you kind of didn't really step up and take that role, which I think should have helped them, you know, win that World Series and beat Houston. And I'll be honest, you know, I was happy that Houston won, but I kind of wanted them to lose. Well, because I like the Dodgers, and I've got this sweet Yasiel Puig jersey that I wanted to get a World Series patch for. But nonetheless, I mean, I don't know. I think with all the hype and the teardowns and the rebuilds, I was rooting more for the Dodgers because I'm tired of everyone just getting on this bandwagon. Well, it doesn't work. Let's just throw everything away and start all over again because that guarantees a World Series. But regardless, the Cubs kind of knew what they were getting with Darvish and they went that route. But my other side of the coin was, I mean, do you really think Arrieta would have performed any different had he re-signed with the Cubs? And I really think that that's what the consensus was with the front office for the Cubs, is that they knew what they were going to get out of Arrieta and they didn't think it was going to be any better than, you know, what he had been doing over the last couple of years.
Yeah, or since, you know, what I'm kind of interested in with this is I'm wondering, is this more a reflection on the Cubs coaching staff than it could be anything else? And, like, I'll be interested to see how Arrieta performs because it literally could end up being more of an indictment on them than it is anything else. Because, you know, I've always been the guy who says Joe Maddon has way too quick of a trigger with his starting pitcher. You know, I don't believe he's the great manager that everybody makes him out to be. I think he's just a guy who jumped on the right situation like anybody else would have done. You know, there's nobody in the world who would have turned down that Cubs job when they came knocking. But I don't buy him being this all-seeing, all-knowing type of manager that everybody's willing to give him. So, you know, there could be some questions there. You know, I mean, Darvish is a quality pitcher. He's proven it throughout his career. You know, the problem in the World Series, they said, was he was tipping his pitches. Well, that's the Cubs' job to fix. have they fixed it? I don't know. You know, it maybe for four innings they fixed it, and then he blew up, you know, in the one. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions leading there. And I just wanted to tell you, Dan, since you brought this topic up again, today on this date in 1954, Hank Aaron hit his first career home run. So it kind of all tied together there. Yeah. So that all worked out for you. But I
got
something out. Well, wait, I found something out that you need to fix in baseball before you have to take your little break because I think it could get us all the way till my alarm goes off there. All right, I heard this is the new problem with baseball, Dan, and I don't know if you saw this, but yesterday in the first inning of the San Francisco Giants-Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim game, Brandon Belt came up, and he had a 21-pitch at-bat that took 13 minutes. And I heard people condemning this because it hurts the pace of play. So, Dan, I need you to fix this. You've got to get a hold of Brandon Belt and tell him he's got to stop falling off all those pitches. And he's just got to make that fly out a lot quicker than he did. I'm going to tell you, Dan, that I think this was incredibly stupid on the people who were talking about this, but I was just dying to know what you thought.
Well, in the interest of fairness for pace of players, yeah, it hurts it. But again, the one thing I love about this game is the fact that you can't control these types of things. The manager can control how long that pitcher's out there or, you know, who goes on the field and when. But everything else is uncontrollable. And I think that's one of the problems that everyone is having is the fact that they want to control things that you can't control. You can't control how many times a ball is going to be, fouled off. You know, you and I talked about this when they added all these extra rules about the pitcher clock and, you know, how many mound visits. I seen it this weekend. There was a pitcher who was getting kind of close and decided he didn't want the ball. Was it scuffed up? Was it used? Well, guess what? The umpire behind the plate wouldn't know because he threw it to his dugout to reset that clock. I mean, so for the pace of players, I mean, this is another one of those things that I love because it's a nice little package that they can take. They can look at it, turn it sideways, or shine it up first, right? And then turn it sideways and shove it up their candy asses. Sorry, I've seen some rock videos this weekend, so. But, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The beginning of the season opened up with how many extra inning games? I just love it because it's a topic that there's no sense in. There's absolutely no sense to be made out of this pace of play topic. When Nomar Tapara, which don't ask me why I was looking up stuff, but looking at like top players from the 90s, he was listed in there. And I never really saw him as a player. It worked out for Boston and for Theo when he was there because they offered him the qualifying offer. He didn't take it. And the Cubs signed him and they were able to get more compensation picks, therefore adding, you know, an extra pick or two into the first round of their draft, which eventually led to their first World Series. Because, I mean, even me, a fan of the game, when this guy came over and there was all this hoopla about him, I was like, who the hell is Nomar Garcia Parra? And why is his name so long? You know, and then the whole stepping out of the box and doing that thing with your gloves for 10 minutes, that was ridiculous. That was over the top, and that was annoying. But a lot of the stuff that these players and pitchers do, it doesn't go to that extreme. We don't have that extreme in this game. You know, stopping a guy from stepping out of the box too many times, yeah, I get that. But why do these guys step out of the box so many damn times? It's not for their own pleasure. It's not because they, you know, they got to adjust their crotch or, you know, the cup that's in there. What are they doing? Looking at either, you know, depending on your left or right-handed, you're looking at the coach in the dugout. You're looking at the third baseman getting the signs from him. See, and that's the part of the game of the control where no one's talking about that makes the game last so much longer. These batters aren't allowed to just go out there and hit. They're constantly looking and checking for what they should do next. Sometimes guys like Javi Baez just kind of go on a whim and do what they want. And you'll even hear the announcer, you think Javi bunted on his own? I don't think Joe Maddon would have called for that bunt. You know, I mean, a guy like Javi Baez, I think that's what makes him so exciting to watch in this game is because he is unpredictable. And you want to speed up the game, let the players play. Quit having the coaches dictate so much of how the game is played. It's not a game of chess to the point where you can control every single piece of doesn't work. Does that help fix it a little bit? Or does that make any sense? And would I be just torn apart on the national media if I were to come out, if, you know, they got a hold of my word. Jack, to you.
It was just one of those things that I thought was incredibly humorous, because you're talking about something that there's absolutely no control of. I mean, you can't control how many times a guy is going to fall off, you know, fall off a pitch, you know, and there are people out there who would look at that as a great at bat, even though, you know, it did just end in a flyout that, you know, didn't amount to anything. I mean, you know, I think there was a runner on first who didn't advance, and, you know, it just one of those things. But I mean, you know, this is baseball. I mean, this is what you want your batter to do. You want a guy to go up there who's going to battle, and, you know, in those situations. And I mean, he fouled off some really tough pitches, you know, and it was just unbelievable that I was kind of, you know, listening to these guys just kind of complain because the at bat took 13 minutes. It's like, yeah, okay, it was a really good at bat. You know, again, and like, you know, I mean, like I said, sadly, it was just one of those things that, you know, it was a good at bat that, you know, kind of putzed out, because it was just, like I said, it just ended up being a flyout, you know, and you look at it and it's kind of anticlimactic, you know, you're hoping for, you know, a gigantic home run or something like that you could look at and go, oh, yeah. And, you know, that would have been the weird thing, is if he would have homered or done something like that, this would be the exact opposite. People would be talking about what a great at bat it was and how he battled through all these pitches, and, you know, he fouled off, you know, however many pitches the at bat went, 21 pitches, and look what he did. But since it ended in a flyout, well, it took too long and it's ruining the game. So yeah, that's just kind of how these things work out, you know, the difference there. So, but yeah, I got a kick out of that one. But yeah, here we go. We have, you know, boy, I really crapped out in FanDuel last night. I went with, I went with the Angels starting pitcher, and he lasted all it. So we're hoping for a little better night tonight. You know, we'll have to see how it goes. Oddly, I wanted to play a late night league as well, but they didn't have Walker Buehler available as a pitcher, so I stayed away from him. But here's what I got going into tonight. I'm going with Gio Gonzalez as my starting pitcher for $8,800. You know, obviously he's pitching for the Nationals against the Giants. First base, I got Jose Abreu of the White Sox. That cost me $3,600. Second base is Robbie Cano of the Mariners for $4,100. Third base, I stayed with the Mariners again. I got Kyle Seager for $3,100. Shortstop is Francisco Lindor for $4,300. And then my real cheap outfield today, I ended up with Will Myers for $3,100. And then a couple of $2,000 guys that I really like their matchups on. I went with Delino DeShields of the Rangers and then Jake Marisnik of the Astros. And then, oh, wow, can I still make a change here, or am I out of the late swap league? Because my utility guy got pulled from the lineup, so that's not going to do me any good, and I think it's too late to swap, damn it. Well, no, maybe I can still make a quick change here with this. So, because I originally had Christian Villanueva in my lineup as my utility guy, and they had him listed in the lineup, but now he's gone. So they have him as day-to-day, so there must have been an injury that came up. So I'm going to jump down here and plug another guy in, see who I can find. Let's plug in Trey Turner for $3,900 there. So we'll go that route. Luckily, I was in the late swap league, and I was able to jump on and make a change there. So there you go.
Before you go on any further, was the home run thing gone? Because I had him in my home run thing.
Yeah, it did come up. Let me see if there's a
it's live. Damn it.
Yeah, you can actually still get in and edit.
Wait, you can?
So There is the edit lineup. When you go down to the three guys you pick, in the right-hand corner it says edit lineup. So you'll be able to get in there and edit, because the game doesn't start for another hour and 30 minutes. So you should be able to get in there and make that change. Kind of like the man in the mirror. That was just a terrible pun there. But let me give you a recap on my lineup here. I have Gio Gonzalez pitching. Jose Abreu is at first base. He's hitting third, by the way. Robinson Cano hits third for the Mariners. He's at second base. Kyle Seager hitting fifth for the Mariners again. He's at third base. Francisco Lindor has already scored 3 points for me because he walked. He's leading off for the Indians. My outfield is Will Myers batting second for the Padres. Delino DeShields leading off for the Rangers. Jake Marisnyk hitting ninth for the Astros. And now Trey Turner in my utility spot leading off for the Nationals. So that's what I'm going with tonight.
Yeah. I went with your guy, Mitch Haniger.
Oh. Well, he's homered in the last three games, so you'll have to see if
that means he's not going to.
Oh, now that you've killed him, he's not going to, but you know, if you wouldn't have picked him, he might have.
But yeah, because when I picked him, he hits usually the day after. So now that you've gone, I wanted to go back. I had two more Cubby things to touch on, and this one isn't so much a Cubs thing as it is a unwritten rules baseball kind of crap. So I don't know how much of yesterday's game you were watching, but somewhere in the game, I don't remember where it was, and I believe I actually tweeted this out this morning, the Colorado broadcast team was getting a little upset because Javi Baez kept jumping in front of DJ LeMahieu because, you know, he assumed that LeMahieu was trying to steal signs and then ended up turning it into, in a sense, a trick play where, you know, he jumped behind LeMahieu and almost got him picked off, which with Wilson Contreras, his arm, this is like kind of a game you could play, and it would be cool if that Javi could have pulled it off yesterday. I don't know if it's going to work in the future. But, you know, LeMahieu gotten a little upset about what he was doing. And the broadcast team just kept going, you know, if he's stealing signs, you know, maybe they should get better signs. This is part of the game. He needs to get over it. Well, if that's part of the game, why can't it not be part of the game for Javi to get in his way and throw him off? He wasn't doing anything illegal. He wasn't stepping in. He wasn't standing in his way, you know, kind of getting in his way of his lead or his running path. I didn't really see what the big issue was. Had it been the other way around, I don't believe that they would have been so upset about it if it were their shortstop getting in front of Javi Baez, who's allegedly trying to steal signs. Did you have an opportunity to kind of see that video this morning or this afternoon?
Yeah, well, you know, I actually saw the whole thing live. I was watching it when, you know, they were doing it. And, it, you know, it's one of those situations where neither guy is wrong.
No.
No, I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. And I'm sure that, you know, good old Lennon JD would have pissed and moaned just as badly as, you know, any other announcer team. But, you know, that's what they do. They would have cried about the shortstop getting in the way. And, you know, it would have been, oh, I can't believe he's doing that. You know, but, you know, and I, you know, honestly, I don't really think Baez was doing it to stop LeMahieu from stealing signs. I think he was setting up the trick play. I think he was trying to distract LeMahieu and get him thinking about something else and then try to sneak in behind him and get the pickoff.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think just standing in front of him for those couple pitches was a setup. So,
you know, because you've seen he threw his hand up a couple times, but there was like that right before the pickoff attempt, he did a big wave. He did a big thing to, you know, kind of get the attention. And I think you're right, but I thought it was funny because, you know, over the weekend, I heard the girls on our local broadcast you know, kind of admonishing the unwritten rules of the game. And, you know, I don't know if that's one of them where you're not allowed to cross the path and, you know, distract a player. But, I mean, I don't know. I just felt like these guys were just way too upset about it. And, I mean, and this is a situation where having a guy like Steve Stone in your booth would probably ease it up a little bit because, I mean, you know, we had talked – I tweeted out there this weekend, I think it was, with again, with the Cubs and the Cardinals. The Cubs executed a bunt, and where was the Rockies' man to cover first base? Both Arenado and – I forget who the first baseman, it was Ryan McMahon, were up on the grass.
Oh,
they were
your guy Ian Desmond.
Oh, it was Desmond. There we go. So, I mean, you see how far they were up. Where the hell was the man to cover first? Whoever, I forget who bunted the ball, should have never reached first base. I'm a Cubs fan. Yay, worked out. We got a hit. Me, I'm a baseball fan, though, and I'm going, where the hell is your fundamentals, guys? This is baseball 101. The guy has the bunt square in front of you, and you're telling me, even, you know, even going to Bud Black, where the hell was Bud Black on this play? Did he need a break? He had to go to the bathroom? You know, I mean, those are the kind of things that should not happen. No offense to the White Sox. You kind of expect that to happen on a team that all these guys are trying to figure out how to play together. You know, that kind of stuff happens on a youthful team that we don't really know what's going on. I want to believe in them, but, you know, I think they got to give us a little bit more. But I still think it takes time. But with the Rockies, you have an established team of veterans, especially the two corners. And you're telling me you don't have a guy to cover first? It was just, it was ridiculous. But the last Cubby thing of the day, and I want to know if you feel some kind of vindication, Albert Almora Jr. playing that outfield. I feel like his bat is getting a little hotter. This kid has played the outfield consistently, and, I mean, he's proving the fact that he belongs out there. Ian Happ looks like a good kid. He does not belong out there playing center field. Albert Almora Jr., Jason Hayward in right, I think you are going to have the most killer defense if that is your starting lineup every day. Because Jason Hayward can cover a whole lot of right and some of that right center field. And you need, if you're going to keep Kyle Schwarber, who more and more, as I see, does not belong in the National League. But that's beside the point. Albert Almora needs to be able to play, you know, a big portion of center and left, because Schwarber just doesn't have what it takes to really be a true left fielder, an outfielder. Not to mention his horrible base running that I've seen this weekend. You know, how do you feel about that? I mean, you're the one who's been sitting here since before spring training, I even think it was. I think we're going back to the end of last season, how Almora needs to be in that lineup more consistently, if not on an everyday basis. And I think he's totally proving it.
Yeah, well, just so you can answer this real quick, out of those three great catches Almora made over the weekend, how many does Ian Happ make?
He doesn't make the one where he runs into the wall. That's for sure.
So yeah, I think that's the only one he has an opportunity to make, but I really don't think he makes any of them. You know, and that's the scary part there. But you know, like, you know, the weird part is, you know, all the excuses, you know, that we've heard for Almora not playing went out the window when, you know, Ben Zobrist got hurt. And they needed him to play. You know, he allegedly can't hit right-handed pitching. So that's why he's always out of the lineup, obviously, because the majority of the pitchers you're going to face are right-handed. Well, you know, he faced right-handed pitching this weekend. Didn't seem to have too big of a problem with it. You know, him and Javi Baez were killing it at the top of the order. So, you know, how did, you know, how did it magically did, you know, Chili Davis teach him how to hit? Is that what happened? Chili Davis taught him how to hit right-handed pitching? So.
It's been 1 month. 1 month. 5 weeks.
Yeah, you know, because I'm, you know, I'm going back here. And, you know, now yesterday he wasn't fantastic. He was just 1 for 6. But the game before that he was 2 for 3. And the game before that he was 4 for 6. So, you know, he ends up going 7 for 15 in the weekend series at the top of the order where the Cubs have a true leadoff hitter.
Yeah, that's essentially 500.
Well, but that's actually, isn't that a little over? 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, you're right. It's over.
Well,
actually,
it's just a little under. He had seven hits and 15 at bats, so just a shade under 500. But, you know, on the year, and I granted it's a small sample size for him, he's hitting 327. So, you know, you kind of look at it and you just wonder why the excuses. You know, and I mean, obviously we know why. He's not Joe Maddon's guy. I for whatever reason, it doesn't seem that the Cubs have a really big belief in him. When it comes to an everyday player, you know, they like Ian Happ. You know, they want him to take over in center field. And, you know, Joe Maddon loves Ben Zobrist. So we've got to find that Ben Zobrist playing time no matter what. And, you know, luckily at least this year, you know, Zobrist started off hot. So, you know, there was something there. But, yeah, I don't know. Even like when Zobrist comes back, I mean, Happ is hitting 222. So why is Al Mora the odd man out? You know, and it's not like he's old. He's only 24. So.
Yeah. Well, I know Addison Russell went day-to-day, so it'll be interesting to see if, you know, playing the lineups with Zobrist out, having Happ at second with Baez at short, you know, how soon before Russell becomes the odd man out.
Or Happ. You know, and obviously, luckily, I don't believe it's serious, but, you know, Chris Bryant took that ball in the face yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
They said somehow he only made a cut. Somehow he only sustained a cut from his sunglasses. You know, luckily, you know, on the plus side, they had the day off today, so he'll get the extra day. We'll have to see if he's in, you know, if he's in the lineup tomorrow. But yeah, that was really scary. You know, luckily, you know, my guy Tommy La Stella stepped up and drove in that big first run for the Cubs yesterday. So, you know, that's always a big plus when you got a guy like La Stella who can step up and, you know, dominate like that when he's called upon. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, you know, like you mentioned, Russell, another guy off to a terrible start. He's hitting 219. So, yeah, you know, you wonder, you know, when Zobrist comes back, will he be the odd guy or will they just go right back to Al Mora going, okay, you can go back on the bench now, you know, and play sparingly.
Yeah.
And just so you know, Jason Hayward is playing better because I picked him on one of our fantasy teams in Yahoo this year. Just so you know that.
I picked him last year. Didn't work out for me. But.
Yeah, it did. I have him. And, of course, when he did homer, I forgot what day that was. I actually didn't have him in my lineup. So that'll teach me.
Well, that's
just
how
it needs to be.
You just can't start him. You can have him on your team. You just can't start him.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, one of those strange things on how it goes. You know, I had him in the damn lineup, and it just, you know, just happened to be the day I had him out. I was just, you know, playing a hunch because I have an overload of outfielders there because I'm waiting to trade you Yoenis Cespedes so I can loosen up my outfield a little bit there.
Oh.
So
I'm going to have to go take a look.
Well, you know, now, you know, as you're going through things and you're watching your highlights, did you see Carlos Gomez walk off from yesterday?
I mean, definitely a huge celebration, but when I found out after the celebration, which was over the top for a walk-off home run for a team like Tampa Bay Rays. It was his first one. So can you blame the guy?
Yeah.
Can we give it to him?
I was surprised
to hear that.
I think he got, you know, because, like, I'm all for these guys celebrating. You know, I'm not the guy who believes you just throw the bat down and run around. I don't mind a little bit of celebration with it, but, man, he got just way too carried away. I mean, he got more excited than I think Joe Carter did when he hit the home run to win the World Series. So, you know, you got to kind of learn to rein it in. And I know this is Carlos Gomez. I mean, he's a flamboyant guy. These are the kind of things you get out of him. But I kind of got a feeling the next time those teams match up that he's going to take one in the rear end. So, you know, and the sad part is, you know, this guy we're talking about, I think he hit a .180. Oh, for some reason I wanted to say Minnesota, but I know that's not right.
Well, so I want to say it's the Pirates.
Oh, no, it was Minnesota. Wow, I got lucky. So.
Yeah. I knew it was a Central team, but not which league.
Yeah, that was just kind of a random guess. I don't know why that stuck in my head that I thought it was the Twins, and yeah, there you go. So it was the Twins. But, yeah, you know, it just I think you just got a little too much over the top. I fully expect to have him take one in the Keister the next time those two teams hook up. So. We shall have to see, but I don't know how it goes. But, yeah, they have you were close on your players of the week here. On MLB.com, they have co-AL guys in Manaea and Machado. They only do one. You do a hitter and a pitcher. And then Patrick Corbin in the NL. So they took Corbin over Cueto on you.
Yeah. Well, it's because he went 2-0. 22 straight.
Yeah, he got – Cueto just got one win. So
– yeah.
Well,
you know, ERA doesn't matter, so the earned runs that Cueto didn't give up don't matter.
So, yeah, you know, obviously they don't give a reason. It's just their pick. They don't really give a reason on, you know, if or why they picked those guys. But I would be interested to know why they went that route over, you know, one of the other guys. Because, yeah, I mean, I don't think Cueto gave up an earned run.
No.
So.
Which is, I mean, unheard of, especially with San Francisco, and then going up against the Angels.
You know, that's a huge deal, but yeah.
Especially
just,
having to go up
against a
different kind of right-handed hitter, and that being Mike Trout. I don't know what's so different about him, but. Other than he's Mike Trout, but
I did see the highlight of Cueto making
the Angel Project.
Not even terrible on one of his at bats, so you know, just one of those things. But all right, Dan, it looks like you're going to have to sing the out song here because it's not playing for us. So you'll have to figure it out. The circle's spinning, but we're not getting any music. So here you go. Dan and I are leaving. It's time for us to go, even though there's no music. I think we got about 30 seconds left. But we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30. You know, while we're gone, you know what to do. SportsTemper.com. Check out what's going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTime Radio. You can find Dan on Twitter as well if you'd like to hunt us down. As always, big thanks for listening live. Anytime you want to go get it at tunein.com. So, yeah, you'll have to fill the next few seconds here, Dan. So,
roll
all right,
out.
Everybody. Back to
see you. See you tomorrow.
Dan and I. So, you know.
talk goes, just in transmission.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to. Now I have that just kind of spinning, and it won't let me end the episode. I guess we're just going to be stuck on air forever now, Dan. So
roll out. Boom, 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 boom.
You know any other words to the song?
I don't even remember. Possibly, but yeah, it's been too long.
Well, I'm gonna guess it's safe, and we're off the air here now, or we rolled into overtime, which would be humorous if somebody jumped in to listen to overtime, and this is what we were doing. So, we'll have to see. But yeah, God, I love AT&T internet. It's just fantastic. So
yeah, and we'll try to talk more about the whole league tomorrow instead of just the Cubs. It was a little Cubs heavy this week for today.
Yeah, well, you know, it just kind of led that way. You know, there was some fun stuff, and, you know, you picked Javi Baez as your player of the week. So, hey, all right, there you go. It looks like I can finally. So we will see you tomorrow.
Adios.